I want you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As I was praying this week over this message, most of you have heard the, I believe, 4 weeks of how not to lose your motivation, because that's what the enemy tries to do, is if you lose your motivation, then that's when you stop coming to church, you stop believing that God's the healer, and you start being settled, you start settling on, well, it must be God's will that I'm ailing or I'm sick, you know. And so here at church, we've got to straighten out that nasty lie from the enemy, because that's who it comes from. He puts in your mind that, well, that's just how I was born. I knew a guy that constantly spoke, you know, I just feel like I was born on the wrong side of the track, a day or two late, it seems like. Well, you confess that trash, and that's what you're going to live that way from now on. But so you got to keep that motivation, praise the Lord. Today, I want to talk about unity. How it's desperate that all of us stay unified. And to be real honest, that's not an easy thing to do for a pastor, is to keep a group of 200 to 300 plus unified. Now, not y'all, because, man, y'all are awesome. I mean it. But in the early days, woo, Jesus, we would have, especially in the days when we started, you ask Howdy and Betsy and Morris and a lot of them that was here in the early days, there was a lot of positioning. I mean, there were people that they would literally call me. Hey, I hear you're starting a new church, and I was wondering if you had an opening for me in, you know, to be an usher or to be this or that. And I'm like, well, do you come to our church? I mean, because he was just looking for a position, and I don't do that. A matter of fact, people want to play in the band, and they'll, from you ask Ricky, they'll want to be a part of the band or they'll want to sing, but they don't even come to the church. And so I would rather people be called to the church before we allow them to have an office of a ministry of some sort, you see. Because I want you called here. I want you to be a part of the vision. If you're not a part of the vision that God gave me, then why are you here? You see, and that's what we got to get across to these ministers that are coming at a minister's conference on next Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, is a lot of times they get so political and they allow people to get political that they can't continue the vision that God gave, not 10 people, because y'all know how that goes when there's two heads. But God sends a pastor that's led by the shepherd, Jesus, to carry on the vision of what God has called, not for the whole country, but just for this church here, specifically. And y'all that are a part of it, whoo, Jesus, you will grow if you get behind the vision. But what, again, a lot of times, there'll be people that come in and the enemy uses them for division. And when that division spirit gets in here, it is terrible. But our leadership knows that I'm pretty hard on that division spirit, and they don't stay very long. I have gotten a little more mellow in my older age, though. Because there were times when someone would speak out of order that, boy, I'd lay it to them. And now I have a whole lot more compassion. Amen. And I want them to grow and not get scared and beat up. Because he's faithful. And that's why we preached in the book of Romans about, therefore there's now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, you see. So there's a learning, though, when, you know, someone gets out of order then, you know, yeah, you can't allow them to disrupt, because then that brings confusion and it brings division. So all through the Word of God, and you see it right here in Ephesians chapter 4 about unity. Now, being in the cowboy world, the greatest example you can use is an event called team roping. Because if a header and a heeler is not in unity, then they're fighting constantly. And I mean, trust me, I've been a pro team roper and now steer roper for 35 or 40 years. And wow, you see a lot of things happen in the professional sport of team roping when there's two people. That's why I love steer roping, because you don't have to have a partner. It's all on you. You're not mad at nobody. Nobody's mad at you. But in the team roping, if a header doesn't handle the cow properly where the heeler can catch the back 2 feet, then there's issues. There's division. There's anger sometimes. Or if the heeler doesn't position the steer right for the header, you know, and let the steer go to the right fence, we call that hazing. You get out there and you need to haze the steer so that the steer stays straight or a step to the left is how I liked them, being a header. And that way you can rope them faster, because in rodeo, it's a timed event. The fastest time wins. So if you're not doing your job, then there can be some division, man. It's the same in the body of Christ. We're all trying to work together to spread the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. But if we're not in unity, then division comes. And when there's division, there's a lot of bad things. Strife comes, pride comes, every evil work can come. Bickering, fighting, and we know all of the stories about the chosen trying to go through the, you know, 40 days and 40 nights, or just to the promised land that took them years to get there because of division. So let's look at a few things right here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. You ready? Say amen if you're there. I therefore, the Apostle Paul is saying this, by the way. He's writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian people. So he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord. Now, you need to stop. When you study the Bible, you need to slow down and figure out he was in prison. Why was he in prison? And he's writing a letter to a church while he's in prison. I normally go to Philippians, because Philippians is where the Apostle Paul was in that prison mammered time, probably where he was here when he says, I'm a prisoner, just by declaring that there's a Son of God named Jesus. By preaching the gospel, basically. Teaching. He was an apostle, the apostle. We're going to read about that here in just a second. When you're in prison of any kind, especially that place where the book of Philippians was written, called Mamertine Prison, still in ancient Rome, the imperial palace is where they'd stick them in a hole in the floor, down into a basement, like, cover it, utter darkness. It was an area where the Euphrates River flushed out the sewer of the imperial palace. Still there to this day. Matter of fact, it's where the Apostle John, you know, they're still, they say, I've never been there, but they still say there's an upside down cross in there that the Apostle John was a part of. And a bad place though, right? Because again, the stench and all the scary, fearful things that the enemy is bringing to one's mind when they're in that prison, in that place with utter darkness. the sewage going through their feet. Matter of fact, you learn when you study it that they had to chain their arms up. They wouldn't let them sit down. And just terrible. But yet Philippians is where the Apostle Paul wrote about joy 17 times. Joy. And I wouldn't be too joyful in prison, right? Let's not go to prison. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So every single person in here is called to do something in the ministry. Not necessarily, you'll find later on as we read, I'm not talking about a pastor back behind this podium or a teacher and so on. But all of you are called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. That I could preach probably on that for a long period of time. Because there's something about bearing one another and then doing it in love. Because all of us have some issues, right? I mean, we can go across this crowd probably, and there's things that make you upset that probably don't me, and me makes me ticked off about things that you probably are okay with. And we all have some issues that we deal with, but that's the good thing is we deal with them. Say amen. Endeavoring, here we go, to keep the, say it with me, unity. Everybody say that loudly. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How many of you know that's a pretty important thing when you're talking about unity is having peace. I mean, talk to any marriage and what does a good marriage work on constantly? Being peaceful. You know, not blowing it. I mean, because marriages are separating today more as much in the church as out in the world, you see. Okay, so there's something about endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then it teaches us some things. Here's how you keep peace, especially in your spiritual life. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, you know, we just believe in God and there's lots of different gods? Well, there may be, but not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of true restoration, not the God that is true peace, everlasting peace. So he's trying to teach us that, hey, and I hear it all the time, even in rodeo, little gods, you know, the little god of roping. And no. You gotta, if you want unity in anything in life, then you've got to live by there's one Lord. There's one faith in Jesus and no other. One baptism. Now, don't let that confuse you. Just if there was a sharp, sharp usher, I guarantee you, if they were sharp, they would get me a little bit of water right now. There's got to be a sharp, there, look at them. They're just moving like flies. I feel a little cough. Okay, look though. Hey, you too late. Got it. Thank you, ma'am. Ozarka. Okay, now, baptism, everybody watch me right quick. Okay, that was good. Thank you, Lord. Baptism, there is one, okay, in the one Lord, in the one Spirit of God, okay? Now, yes, there's the baptism, water, the death, burial, and resurrection, after you give your life to Jesus. But as Acts says, the second baptism, but in the name of the same Lord, in the name of Jesus, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that we're all a part of, though, because there's not several Holy Spirits, there's just one, you see. And that's why we do everything in the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus, okay? So don't let that confuse you when it says that there's one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. There's not several gods. There's not the God of Mohammed, the God of Hare Krishna, the God of the cow. There's not other gods. Now there's other devils. And there's demons. But we serve the name that's above all of those names. And his name is Jesus. Okay. All right. Now again, we're talking about unity, right? All right. Verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, this is talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive. Thank God for that, man. Because a lot of people are in captive in some area. I mean, you want to talk about an addiction of drugs, you're captive. You know, I know it's hard in one area with the cowboy world called tobacco. And I know there are people in here that, I mean, that tobacco spirit is strong. I mean, you can ask some of them that's been delivered from smoking or even tobacco. Woo, Jesus. It just tries to draw you back. And I thank God every day that my dad gave me a dip of Skoal when I was young and it made me sick and I never did it again. I just didn't like it. I tried to be a tough cowboy and put a dip of Hawkins. I don't know if anybody knows Hawkins. Oh my Lord, it'll burn your lip. I mean, my lip was burnt. So I didn't like that. But a lot of times that through stress or through whatever, when people do use tobacco of any kind, whoo, it's a strong spirit, you see. Well, a lot of times you stay captive in that because you go too long without it and you get ornery and angry and, I mean, you get bitter and you get to shaking Well, here, in order to stay in unity, Jesus, when he was crucified, he ascended, but before he ascended and he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. And that's talking about every one of us. He gave gifts to men. And then he explains it. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, hell. He who descended is also the one who ascended, went up far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. In other words, he went above heaven. He went into hell. He conquered the grave. He conquered death so that all of us can do the exact same thing here on earth. Matter of fact, Jesus says, greater things will you do than even I did. That's a tough statement, you see. You see, there's something about knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Instead of sin, instead of being captive, controlling your thought life, if you find out what Jesus did for you so he can fill all things, so that you can have a more abundant life, so that you can be healed by the stripes of Jesus, so you can live in everlasting peace, so you can have the joy of the Lord that causes strength in your life. Man, when you get that and you understand that and who you are in Christ, unity comes in one's life. I mean, things can come against you right and left, stab you in the back, come from behind, sneak up on you, and you'll still have a godly life. You're not going to allow any of those things to bother you if you stay in unity. All right, so as we keep reading, verse 11 says, then he himself gave some to be, not all, all of you have a gifting, but only some. The Bible says that Jesus, when he ascended, descended, let captivity captive or whatever, he then called some and gave some to be an apostle. When you study out an apostle, really, an apostle is someone that God uses just to start things. I mean, you want to talk about a church planter, an apostle, because that's how the Apostle Paul was. He would start the church at Corinth, and then he would go plant this church at with the people at Ephesus, and then he would plant, you know, the Galatians, and I mean, he was an apostle, and that's what an apostle is. And then it says some prophets. Man, I'm telling you, a prophet God is using today like never before, because God uses a prophet not to, I use the word squirrely all the time, because you see a lot of prophets get squirrely. And I mean, they just start saying everything that's in their mind. And that's not how a prophet is, because a prophet speaks edification, exhortation, you see. Not trying to fix y'all, because if a prophet's just trying to fix all your issues and sins, then you wouldn't need Jesus. So that's why it's specific about a prophet. But I'm here to tell you, there's prophet and prophetess that God uses to speak life into people. I mean, gives you a word from heaven. And I believe in the prophets. But God called some of them as a prophet. Then some evangelists. Woo-hoo! I pastor this church, very evangelistic. I mean, I won't say that. I just think we ought to have fun. Evangelist, man, he just fired up. He don't want anybody to go to hell. So he evangelizes. Come on, give your life to Jesus. You know. And a true evangelist, man, I'm excited to go out there a lot of times, because I can't wait. I shine. I'll just say it that way, when I get to tell people about Jesus and lead them to the Lord. That's why you see people get saved here at this church so often, is that evangelistic spirit. But I pastor very evangelistic. And you can do both. Some pastor is the prophet. Some pastor is a teacher. And I mean, they just teach and teach. Well, that's one of them, by the way, right? Some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Now, obviously, a pastor is a shepherd. I care about y'all. I that's why I get ticked off at the devil. When I hear that the devil is messing with some of y'all, that ticks me off. I'm ready to fight, right? Spiritually. And well, sometimes physically. But we got to stay in the spirit, not the flesh, right? That was last week's message, you know. But that's what it wants, a good pastor. I will fight for you. Don't you mess with some of my flock. That's a good shepherd, though, you see. And God calls some of them, but now listen to why he calls these, and I'll start trying to wrap this up, and I'll finish it next week. Verse 12, you ready? All those some are called, knowing that in the upper scripture here, all of us have a gift in the ministry. And here's what the five offices, these five, we call it the fivefold ministries. Here's what the fivefold does. For the equipping of the saints. Look at me just real fast. That's you. You're a saint. If Jesus is Lord. If Jesus is not the Lord of your life, you've never invited him in your heart to save you, you're not a saint yet. But if you give your heart to Jesus, you're a saint. Now, don't let that mess with you either in your mind, because you're still a son. You're still a daughter of the Most High God. And I kind of like thinking that way, because, you know, I don't want to just be known as a servant, because I love to serve. But it's more important to me to know I'm God's son. Because when you think that way, then when it talks about inheritance, you know, we're heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, it means a whole lot more to me. I don't know about y'all. But I mean, I want to be known as a son of God, you see. So when it uses the word saints, it's just talking about my job is to get you, the saints, the born again people, to do the work of the ministry. Now, what is that? I mean, because that's pretty broad, right? I mean, the work of the ministry is a lot. How about going to the hospital and praying over the sick? I know we prayed for 20 or 30 of you here, but how many of you think are out there that desperately need prayer? They need someone to not be afraid. They need someone, some of us, to go ahead and get a little bit more knowledge, possibly. That's why we come to church, so that we can do the work of the ministry. And then it's up to us to go out there. And when you sense someone that is needing something, they're having some issues, then you'll, led by the Spirit of God, because that's what we learned last week or the weeks prior, is we've got to not be of the flesh but of the Spirit. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, then that's when you discern what's going on in someone's life, to be able, through an open door led by the Spirit of God, to pray over them, even if you don't know them. Or if you do know them, that's even better, because you probably already know what they're going through. When you're at a barrel race, I mean, it would, when you're really in tune with the Spirit of God, which means you got to focus, right? You got to focus on your job of running barrels or poles or roping or whatever it is. But then if you're led by the Spirit, that girl or that person that comes by, you're able to discern. And when God prompts you, I'll just say, or put something in your knower. That's what old Monty Price used to say. Put something on in your knower that you need to pray, and they're going through something, then led by the Spirit of God, you just go, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I just wanted to tell you that God has got you in the palm of His hands. He's going to take care of you. You know what you're going to see on their face? Like, you'll get that look of, did my husband tell you something? And then they'll get this, thank you. I needed that. And it doesn't have to be major deep spiritual stuff. It might just be something like, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I know, you know, maybe you've been going through some things, and just walk away if you don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But I just wanted to let you know that while you talk to all those people and the sponsors, try to sponsor, get money out of them, I want you to know that the anointing of God is going through you onto them, and they'll probably get saved, healed, delivered, set free just because of your obedience, even in a job that you're doing. Well, just see something just refreshing like that causes people to go, oh, good. Yeah, because it ain't no fun asking for money. Right? All of this is going to take unity, though. Unity of the faith. And next week, we'll finish on really what your responsibility is that you're learning from me, the pastor, so that you can do the work of the ministry. And I'm not saying, get out of your mind that, well, I just don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to. If I submit, then I'll have to, you know, move to Africa and eat beetles. You know, that's what you hear. No. No. You've got to understand that your calling here is greater than any selfish thing that you could do. Because your calling, oh man, to do the work of the ministry, to build someone up, even when you don't feel good yourself. Really, that's how you get healed. That's how you get healed is when you minister. I'll never forget a broken heart. when I was just out of college. And it was another girl. And I thought, well, I was dating this girl. And anyway, she broke up with me. I was like, don't you know who I am? That's probably why she broke up. But anyway, but I'll never forget that my brother Tim was roping with a guy in Andrews, Texas, and going down the road. And I mean, my brother Tim could rope. He's the best of all of us, I think, just because he got to hang around the best in the world, and I mean, got good. But the guy that he was roping with, his dad was a pastor. And right when this kind of heartbreak, and it wasn't as bad as the first one, but it was one. And I felt down, and you know how it is when, you know, someone breaks up with you, you don't feel worthy, and, you know, you feel like something's wrong with you, and all those things try to come on someone's mind. And I'll never forget, his dad says, hey, Corey, come on up here during a Wednesday night church service. Corey, come on up here and just share what the Lord is doing in your life. And I was like, oh, this is not a good opportunity for me. This is wrong timing, brother. But you know what happened? I was healed that night because I got everything off of me and I got it onto Jesus, the unity, unifier. And when I did that, I was healed. I wasn't heartbroken any longer. You see, well, that's unity, y'all. That's knowing who you are. That's doing the work of the ministry. And we'll talk more about the work of the ministry. That my job is to help the saints, you, do that, just that, the work of the ministry. And that, again, I know it's broad, but man, that has to be all of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Healed. Love you. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this group. Thank you, Lord, that we can just have a good time learning about you. That it's exciting, that we don't dread coming to church and learning about who we are in our Christ Jesus. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the word today. We receive it all by faith. And we thank you, Lord, for unity. Unity. Not division. Not thinking we know how to do things best in a church where there's a pastor. Father, we need unity so that we can do what we've been called to do. And that's to do the work of the ministry. See people's lives change for the better. Not condemnation, not guilt. Because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So we recognize that. We remind ourselves of that daily. We crucify flesh daily. And we thank you, Lord, that we just believe for unity. So help us, sir. We need help. Faith by faith. One step at a time. One prayer at a time. One scripture at a time. That's how we build faith to find out who we are. That's called maturity. So, Father, thank you for helping us learn how to be unified in the body of Christ so that we can get you to come back for a bride, a church without spot or wrinkle. So, Father, thank you for this message today that we receive by faith in Jesus' name. No one looking around, just real fast. You're here this morning. Is Jesus Lord? If he's not, it's imperative that you ask Jesus to come into your life so that you, according to John 14, can go to a Father in heaven. And it's because Jesus is the only way, truth, and life. He's the only way. So all of you, especially anybody at the sound of my voice, watching or here in this auditorium, that has never given your life to Jesus, I want you to pray a prayer with all of us. And let's all pray this prayer out loud and ask Jesus to come into our life. Now, the people that have already done that, I did it May the 10th, 1979. I was 10. You're not giving your heart to Jesus again. You're just praying it with someone around you that may be asking Jesus to come into their life for the first time. You're also praying it as born-again people to learn the spirit of the prayer so that you can lead people to Jesus that Pastor Corey here can't be in front of. I don't have enough time. You can lead them to Jesus when God opens that door. I'm just here to tell you the door's always open. It's time we're not afraid. I know there's timing, but it's time we learn the spirit of this prayer. So you're going to pray this prayer, but if there's anybody in here that doesn't know what would happen to you if you died, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, ask Jesus to come into your life, and I'll promise you, you'll go to a place called heaven. Amen. You'll have heaven here on earth, actually. So let's pray it just like this, out loud where our ears can hear it. You ready? Say this, church. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Come into my heart and change me for the better. I believe you've been raised from the dead. Thank you, Jesus, for dying just for me. I now make you my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. I want you to be bold. Don't you dare be afraid. Be bold to say, I just gave my heart to Jesus. And I prayed that prayer in a minute. If you just did that, when I count to three, I want you, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand straight up and then put it right back down. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to ask you right where you're at or watching. If you just prayed that prayer and gave your heart to Jesus this morning for the first time, then get that hand up and declare it before God in Jesus' name. You ready? One, two, three, go. All right, look at me, everybody. I figured with no new people and all of us bound to be saved. I mean, why would you keep coming if you don't give your heart to the Lord Jesus? But here's the thing. We got to start inviting people. We got to start doing the work of an evangelist. That's part of the ministry, y'all. We got to start not being ashamed to say, hey, if you can't lead them to the Lord, hey, you ought to come to this church. I just want to invite you. Sometimes that's all they're waiting on, is for you to say, hey, man, I'd love for you to come to my church one time. And that's doing the work of the ministry. Amen? All right, did y'all have a good time? Thank you for being here.